Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I hope you are doing well. It is Thursday and Bitcoin is just above 65,000. So we had around a 2% drop since yesterday's recovery. And I got an interesting question in our Discord regarding the halving. And what should we do with regards to the halving? Is it a sell the news event? So I will look at the history of the halving and look at some data points around Bitcoin and tell you guys what I will do personally with regards to the halving. And without further ado, let's get started. As always, this isn't financial advice. Be sure to do your own due diligence before making any investing decisions. And leave a like if you enjoy these lives. All right, so the halving is in less than 1 month. So the predicted date right now is April 20th, so may differ a day or two, depending on who you ask, but that's the range, inshallah. And the halving corresponds with the output or the rewards that Bitcoin miners get falling in half. So right now, I think it's 900. The Bitcoin issuance is going to fall to 450. And assalamu alaikum, everyone. And typically, you know, economics 101, when supply falls and demand, assuming demand stays the same or it rises, the price will rise. So in previous halvings, this has been a really big deal, the halving, because from a fundamental perspective, it meant that there was a lot less supply meeting demand. However, this time around, things are a bit different. So if you look at this chart, you can see at the bottom, these orange bars, these short orange bars, that represents the Bitcoin issuance daily. Now, compare this with the gray is the Bitcoin price, but compare this with the blue line, and that's the intake of the Bitcoin ETFs every day. So you can see that on every day, the intake of the Bitcoin ETFs basically dwarfs the amount of Bitcoin issuance. And so even if Bitcoin issuance is going to fall in half, the Bitcoin ETFs and their intake is really what runs the show. Whether that's, you know, substantially positive or negative is what is going to exert the most influence on the price of Bitcoin. Now, even though the Bitcoin halving may not have a profound impact on supply, comparatively speaking, it may still have a profound impact on demand for psychological reasons, because people, even though you know, Bitcoin ETFs are having a greater impact, people may simply perceive it as being a big deal. And it's very hard to predict what people's psychology is going to be around the halving. So we've seen that recently this week, Bitcoin ETF net inflows have actually become outflows, and we actually had, you know, some of the weakest inflows since the launch of these ETFs. And yet, we had a recovery in the price of Bitcoin yesterday, and I think that is partially due to people anticipating the bull run that has historically been associated with the halving. And so a lot of people who wanted to get into Bitcoin and perhaps were waiting for a pullback got into coin. I'm talking about retail traders got into Bitcoin yesterday, and that supported its price. So even though ETFs were not doing so hot, retail picked up the slack. And so we saw the Bitcoin price recover yesterday, despite the weakness in demand for ETFs. Now, if you're wondering why there was weakness in demand for ETFs, well, that was basically a result of GBTC and their greed, keeping fees as high as, you know, 5 to 6 times the other Bitcoin ETFs, hoping that people were basically their customers that trusted them, were basically locked in to their GBTC, because if they sold, they had to pay a lot of taxes. Well, people, I think rightly so, calculated that, you know, if Bitcoin keeps going up in price, these, you know, 100 basis points difference between what GBTC is charging me and what these other Bitcoin ETFs are offering, this difference is going to be greater and greater because it's their management fee is a percentage of the total value of their holdings. So that number is going to get greater and greater, and it's going to compound over time. So let me get out now before Bitcoin becomes, 200,000. So I think a lot of people were thinking along those lines, and they've been getting out in the last week. And so far, GBTC now has half the number of Bitcoins they had when the Bitcoin ETFs were launched. So I think they're paying the price of their greed. And eventually, if this continues, they'll end up having to lower their fees anyway. Now, because of this sort of hybrid motor behind Bitcoin's price, that is the retail demand and the institutional demand that now has access to Bitcoin through the Bitcoin ETFs, this cycle around, we're seeing more muted drawdowns. So the typical drawdown has been between 10 and 20% this cycle. Whereas with previous cycles, we've seen drawdowns that exceeded 50% and 60% in the last drawdown. So we're seeing the maturation of coin as an asset and also the fruits of the Bitcoin ETFs play out. And this makes betting on a drawdown less and less appealing. And so if we look historically in 2016, we can see that the halving was indeed a sell the news event. So you can see these orange bars, they represent the daily Bitcoin issuance, and that fell to half its level. And shortly after the halving, the price of Bitcoin dipped, by the way, from like 700 and change to 500 and change. So imagine that. You could buy a Bitcoin for $500. Imagine that. Only, less than 10 years ago. And in 2020, investors wised up and they figured, oh, well, we're going to front run this halving. And so you can see the Bitcoin price in black here actually dipped before the halving. So a lot of investors figured, they were the smart ones. They weren't going to wait for the halving and experience the drop like what happened in 2016. So they got out before the halving. And the price recovered sharply when the halving happened. And then obviously, compared to the halving, we made substantially higher highs for the next year. And so the price performance since the all-time high, Bitcoin here in its most recent cycle in black, seems to correspond quite closely with the previous two cycles in blue and red. And so we are seeing that history is rhyming. And the reason why I point this out is that if you look at the short term around the halving, it's very hard to ascertain, okay, when is the dip going to come? Is it going to come before the halving? Is it going to become after? Is it going to come after the halving? Is it going to come at all? Maybe the dip that we just experienced is the pre-halving dip. It's really hard to tell. Although I think that it's not unreasonable to assume, I think this is a pretty safe assumption, that a lot of traders are looking at this halving event as a sell the news event. And so I suspect a dip around the halving, although you cannot be certain of these things. And therefore, I think what a reasonable strategy is, if this is something that irks you, bugs you, and you want to play it, I would definitely not, sell and wait for the dip, especially considering the drawdowns have been a lot more muted recently. Maybe if you want to keep, 10 to 20% in cash, and that way, if things continue to go up, you're fine, you're 80 to 90% invested. If things actually do experience a dip, then you could take advantage of that with a non-trivial amount that you've set aside. So I think that would be a more wise approach than, selling out entirely. So, and the last thing I want to say is that, if we zoom out, so if we don't focus on the halving necessarily and we zoom out, it's clear that we're still early. Every model that we look at tells us that we're still early. So if you just remember that, you know, the price, you know, dropped from 700 to 500. Now, do you care if you were to go back in time? And I would say, hey, you know, you have an opportunity to buy at 500 or 700. Do you really care? I mean, it's basically the same for you at this point. I mean, you would jump at that opportunity. And I think the same is true with the price of Bitcoin. So, you know, maybe it drops 10% or 20% or whatever. 5 years from now, you're going to wish that you had bought at these prices if you hadn't bought already. And so, you know, whether you're able to take advantage of a 10% dip or 20% dip shouldn't really keep you up at night. I think what's important is that you don't mess this up and sell your Bitcoin and just ignore the noise of the daily fluctuations, because they really can't be predicted. So with that, be sure to become a PIF member if you aren't already. We have a great community of halal conscious investors trying to do the right thing, both ethically and from a financial perspective. So we'd really love to have you. Let's take some questions. Yes, I did grow hair. SubhanAllah, when you go to Turkey, all of a sudden, your hair starts to grow. Thank you. Appreciate that. Do you think the miners will 10 to 15x this bull run? I think they will probably outgain Bitcoin on a percentage basis, but it depends on which miners, obviously. So there are some higher quality miners than others. So if you're in the right ones, I think they will probably do better than Bitcoin, because they're like a leverage play on Bitcoin. If the price of Bitcoin increases, you know, 10%, the operating income for a Bitcoin miner may increase, you know, 20 or 30%. Assalamu alaikum, brother Akam. Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for all your videos. You're welcome. I want to ask about UIF, which is an Islamic organization that helps with buying a house here. Perhaps I can review them in a separate video, inshallah. I will say that I did make a video about guidance, and I also made a video about mortgages in general, which was a response to another video about Islamic mortgages. So I would check those out, and I think they will really inform your decision with regards to any other player if they have a similar model. Do we have any halal portfolio option in PIF membership which can beat S&P 500 and make? Well, you cannot really predict the future or guarantee the future. And anyone who tells you they have guaranteed returns is lying. يعني الغيب لا يعلمه إلا الله. The future really can't be known by anyone except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, but I expect that our PIF portfolios will beat the S&P, inshallah. And it won't be close, inshallah. Is it really a halal option to own a house? And it's a tough question, perhaps for a different video, inshallah. Any prediction about Solana? Yeah, I mentioned yesterday, I thought that there was a non-trivial chance. There is a non-trivial chance that Solana flips Ethereum. I think there's a material chance that this happens this bull run. Because really, if you've used both blockchains, there's really no comparison. Solana is clearly superior. I don't really think there's a fundamental reason for Ethereum to be valued more over time. Would linking US dollar with gold affect the future price of BTC? Yeah, that's not going to happen. It would certainly make the US dollar stronger, less inflationary, but with $35 trillion in debt, no one's linking the dollar to gold. They need to pay off that debt, and that's not going to happen without inflation. Assalamu alaikum, I kind of new to crypto. Been, I think, 1 to 2 years. The part that got me in the chart, I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure what you're asking. What are your thoughts on the Satoshi wallet holding 5% of all Bitcoin? So this brings up a good point, which is that Bitcoin is compared to, like, for all of its benefits compared to fiat, it really is, you know, tough to argue for it as a currency considering its concentration. The concentration of Bitcoin is too high. And that may actually get worse with time. So Bitcoin is designed to go up in price, which means that people are going to hoard it. And so you're going to see a lot more concentration. But if I think Satoshi wallets holding 5% of all Bitcoin is necessarily an existential threat to Bitcoin, you know, if he sold his 5%, I imagine that it will be absorbed relatively easily by the market. Any thoughts on Caspand or Dev views on Israel? Interesting. So this brings up a point. So I'm not going to talk about Caspa in particular because I haven't really done a deep dive on it. But as it relates to like people expressing views, like, okay, a dev expressed the view. Like I wouldn't necessarily, you know, put much weight on that. What I care about is what is actually impacting people. And I also don't like giving people that shouldn't be that important a lot of importance. Now, this may, I don't know how this is going to sound, but it kind of gives you insight into how I think about these things. Like when some nobody decides to burn the Quran, right? He's just a nobody. He's never amounted to anything in his life. There's no proof of him actually having any impact on anything. And he wants to feel important. He goes out and he burns the Quran. Okay. The response to that is that Muslims around the world go out and they protest, and a lot more, incidentally, than they protest from like actual, you know, bombing of Gaza that happened. A lot more, you know, even people die in these protests. And it's like, well, should we be giving this person who doesn't represent anyone, represents himself, doesn't have any impact on anything, so much importance? And I think the answer is probably no. So the same is true with like assets. A lot of times I'll get questions about, oh, hey, you know, the VP of so-and-so company said something pro-Israel. Let's boycott the entire company. I was like, I think that's probably, you know, not the right response. First of all, the company in question may have like, I don't know, it's a big company. It may have, a VP is often, no offense to anyone who is a VP, but oftentimes companies will promote someone, give them a much, I guess, weightier title, position title, and a small bump in pay. And, you know, hopefully the bigger position title, you know, compensates or distracts the person from the small bump in pay that they got. So, you know, you can have some companies have thousands of VPs. A VP isn't, and it's not necessarily one VP. So, you know, I would say make sure that you're not putting too much weight on what people say and put more weight on what is the actual impact of the asset that I'm considering. Is it positive or negative? Is it hurting anyone or is it not hurting anyone? Is it actively supporting an oppressor in a material way or is it not? And focus on that. I think we'll come out with better conclusions. Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, leave a like, brother. Yeah, well, you can't always be like that cool every time, then it just sort of dilutes coolness. It's no longer special. So, all right. Jazakumullah khair, everyone. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. I hope you're having a blessed Ramadan. Until next time, take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum and peace be upon you all.